The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Matthew. Glory be to thee, O Lord. Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trodden underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. Nor do men light a lamp and put it under a bushel, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Think not that I have come to abolish the law and the prophets. I have come not to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Whoever then relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But he who does them and teaches them shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise be to thee, O Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Well, may I wish everyone a happy fifth Sunday of Epiphany. Two more to go, and we're into Lent. And we are sort of prepared, in a sense, for Lent this morning. Not that these are anywhere near Ash Wednesday readings or the readings we'll encounter during that holy season. But we're blessed with a series of readings this morning that should prepare our hearts and our minds for the season that is ahead, but also for the day that is ahead and the week that is ahead. We are gifted, so to speak, gifted by God's holy word. We begin in Isaiah in that chapter 58. Now, most scholars will agree that the book of Isaiah is actually a compilation of three books. The first 39 chapters were written before the exile of Israel to Babylon, an earth-shaking, historically defining moment for that nation, which echoes in significance no differently than does the Exodus. And it's within those first 39 chapters that God, through the prophet, is admonishing Israel for abandoning the covenant, for becoming unfaithful, for needing to learn a lesson, so to speak. And then in chapters 40 through 55, which are perhaps written sometime much later, God is working through this prophet who perhaps was a student or a devotee of the original Isaiah. And in those 15 chapters, he is preparing Israel for the coming exile. He's telling them, you're not going to turn back. You must face the punishment of exile in a foreign land. The only ones who will be left behind will be the poor. The people of the land, or in the Hebrew, the Anawim, will be left behind. And then 70 years later, We are now in the third book of Isaiah, which are those last 10 chapters, 56 through 66, in which God is rejoicing with Israel that your time of penance, your time of suffering, your time of lamenting has come to an end, and you will be liberated, and you will return to Israel. And now he's speaking to a whole new generation who have never lived there, because it's 70 years later. At least two generations have settled into Babylon, and now it's time to return. But through that prophet, through the prophet, the author of that third book, God speaks and says that when you return, don't think I'm going to just demand of you your worship and your sacrifices and your liturgies and your prayers. They won't mean a thing to me in this new Jerusalem that you're going back to unless your prayers, your worship, and your liturgy is accompanied by your works of justice, your works of kindness, your works of freeing the oppressed, your works of not fighting with one another. Because this new Jerusalem is going to be God's new beloved community. So if you truly worship me, you will be a people of justice and of kindness. And then Paul comes along in our second reading in a beautiful chapter, in the second chapter of that first letter to the Corinthians, in which he, sort of like God freeing Israel, that he is beginning to shape a new community. He is bringing for the first time the word of God to people who perhaps have never heard of Jesus or heard of, as it was called then, the way. He, like the prophet, or God through the prophet, is shaping that new community. And it's going to be a rough road for Paul. And it's going to be a rough road for the church. For you see, Paul has to write two letters to the Corinthians to try and admonish them, no differently than God admonished Israel so long before. And when he settles everything down with the second letter, that doesn't work. Because the bishop of Rome, several decades later, Clement of Rome, will still have to write to the Corinthians and basically tell them, cool your jets. Be kind to one another. Be a people of justice. And these are people who are shaping new communities, are bringing new light, new hope, new love into the midst of an historical progress. And now, so wonderfully in our gospel, comes the High King of Heaven, Jesus himself, into the midst to tell us that we are the salt of the earth. We are the ones who are not only to preserve the good news of Jesus Christ, but we are to continue as God's light through our light. Here, Jesus is in our hymn that we just heard, is truly that High King of Heaven. And I would be remiss at this point if I did not teach a lesson in Irish. For if you notice in your hymnal, Slain is an Irish melody from 700, from in the common era, oftentimes referred to as a hymn of Columba himself. And in that verse where we say, O High King of Heaven, we are really saying a homage through those ancient Irish monks to the High Kings of Ireland, who were so revered, and the High King himself would sit on the mound and on the hill at Meath. And the title was, for the king, which you hear until the present day, in the Irish language, is Taoiseach. So I'm going to ask everybody to say, Taoiseach. Taoiseach. That's your first lesson in Irish. They will continue during the week. Only kidding. But here, this Taoiseach, this High King of Heaven, has walked in to tell the disciples, because we are now in the fifth chapter still of Matthew's gospel. He has just finished telling us the Sermon on the Mount, which is a new way of living, which is a new way of understanding the commandments. When Jesus says, I will not change one iota of the law, I will not change one dot, he is saying at the same time, I will be giving a new understanding, and that comes through the sermon that I have just preached. But it also comes through all of chapters 5 through 7, Because this whole setting that we are in Matthew's gospel takes place in one sitting where Jesus himself, this Taoiseach, this high king of heaven, is preaching to the disciples, is preaching to you and I, that we bear the very light of the Word of God, the very light of Jesus Christ is born through us. And for us at Holy Faith, it takes on special meaning during this year of stewardship in which we have committed ourselves during the stewardship year as the light of Christ, as the light of the world. And Jesus is coming in and asking no differently than the Israelites were asked so long ago to adapt a new way of understanding God's law and God's hope and God's love. And I dare say that Jesus, as the good rabbi, as the good teacher, always had the scripture, the Torah, and the Psalms in the back of his mind when he was teaching. And I would think it would not be too hard to understand or to accept the fact that he must have had Psalm 112 that we recited just a few moments ago, echoing in his ears. For you see, this is where you and I, through the words of the psalmist, as well as through the words of Jesus, are given three simple rules which will carry us as lights of Christ into the world. We don't have to wait for the skies to open. Jesus worked in the ordinariness of the day. And in Psalm 112, we are told three things in order to be the light. One, manage your life with justice. Organize the everydayness of your life as a just individual, as a just follower of God. And then secondly, the second rule is give to the poor freely, as the psalmist echoes. And we can understand that not simply by digging into our pockets and giving what money we can give, but we give to the poor through our prayers, through our compassion, through our justice, through our love. And then finally, to bring all these two rules to completion, Jesus is echoing the psalmist again and saying, we will do all of this by trusting in the Lord. Trusting that we are never abandoned. Trusting that we are never unloved. Trusting that we are never unhoped for. And trusting that Jesus walks with us each and every day. Those rules are so simple, and they come through in the simplicity of our lives, in the simplicity of our goings and comings each and every day. Now, as some of you may know, either through my history here or recently through the papers, I'm the chaplain for the Massachusetts, I'm longing for the Babylonian exile. I'm chaplain to the New Mexico State Senate. I have been that for the past 6 years. And it's been a wonderful ministry. And it's been a ministry in which I get to look pretty good, because I get to invite people from a variety of faith communities. Father Robin was with us just a few days ago offering prayers. And what happens is that a gathering of interfaith leaders from around the state each day offer the opening invocation, blessing, prayer for the Senate that will convene that day. It's a very inclusive interfaith experience when the voice of God and the hopes of God are heard through a myriad of faiths, a myriad of traditions. By the end of this session, there will have been voices and prayers and thoughts and reflections echoed from the Buddhist community, from the Muslim community, from the Jewish community, from the Native American community, and from the Christian community, and also perhaps a voice or two from those communities who just simply don't believe but look at the world through very humanist circumstances. And it's a collection of voices that shine a light. Now, what's happened in this session for the first time has been rather remarkable, and it is but just a reflection of this morning's gospel. I have been approached by more members of the Senate, by more leaders this year than I ever have, thanking me and my colleagues who I've invited for prayers. thanking me for the hope and the light that has shined upon that legislative session. This is a first. It's as if there's a new spirit in the year, in the air, rather, of longing, of hope, or, as I like to think, as the psalmists say, trusting in the Lord. And we take all these readings together this morning. We are opened up to new life by three simple rules. Manage our life with justice, give freely to the poor, and to trust in the Lord. Amen.